So all you free Americans out there, get out your First Amendment and read along with me. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Did you get that? The First Amendment protects freedom of speech. But note, it says Congress shall make no law, etc., etc., etc. In a free America, people are free to do what they like. And that means in the land of free speech, there is considerable energy, perhaps more than you might think, devoted to the banning of books. The American Library Association has even declared the third week in September Banned Books Week. There are dozens of books banned in schools and libraries somewhere in the United States in 2013, including the Quran, Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five, The Diary of Anne Frank, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, Sarah Grun's Water for Elephants. I could go on. For political reasons, because of alleged profanity, or because of perceived religious blasphemy, books in America can and have been banned since the founding of the nation. This is not a huge issue for the United States. Book banning is rare, but our look at this story is very simple today. Here's how it's done, how to ban a book in free speech America. You start with someone like lawyer Mike Holzknecht, who's a parent in Stockton, Missouri. Mike, now the book you have a problem with is...
The Absolutely True Diary. This is the latest book that caused a stir in our community, absolutely something about American Indian.
It's a Sherman Alexie's book, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's been banned in a number of communities around the United States. Now, how did you hear about the problem? How did you encounter the book and decide to take some action?
Well, as the former district attorney out here, I had had some involvement, and as a parent, I had had some involvement with a book when our son was in the fourth grade that discussed smoking marijuana and obviously age-inappropriate material. And I found out through our local school board the procedure to challenge a book that was in the school, whether a classroom or the library. And it was as simple as filling out a form, the name of the book, the teacher's class, and then the school board would conduct an investigation and make a decision as to whether that book was appropriate or not and whether it should be used in the classroom or kept in the library.
Well, you always want a lawyer involved. Mike, hold on there for a second. So from the parents and outraged citizens who have a problem with the book, you then take your grievance, as Mike did, to the school board. Sarah Pacheco is the public information officer for the Sierra Vista Unified School District. Now, you're currently considering taking a book off the shelves, not the Sherman Alexie books. What is the book you're considering?
It's called Dreaming in Cuban by Christina Garcia.
And where does the process stand? You've already heard from the parents. They filled out the forms, right?
Yes. In Sierra Vista, we have a committee that meets and reviews the book in its entirety, and they have to take into consideration academic value, and the teacher also submits their lesson plan that went along with the book. Then they make a recommendation to the governing board of our school district, and it's ultimately the governing board's decision whether or not to take it off the shelves.
Now, you're the public information officer for the Sierra Vista Unified School District. You're not on the board or the governing board. Is that to say that this is a big controversy right now on the board?
It's been a bit of a stir in our community, for sure.
All right. So in the crosshairs there in the Sierra Vista Unified School District is Dreaming in Cuban by Christina Garcia. Now, if the process is successful, finally, the books are physically removed from shelves. And now that's where you come in, Amy Crump, right?
Yes.
Former librarian for the Marshall Public Library in Missouri. Have you ever had to remove a book from the shelves?
I did while I was at the Marshall Public Library. We did make a decision to temporarily remove a book from the shelves.
And you literally go to the shelves, remove it? Where does it go? You burn it? What do you do?
No. The book was just put in a drawer while the board itself met. We were in a unique situation because we did not have a policy that addressed how to make a decision when a book is challenged. So we took both books that were challenged, Blankets by Craig Thompson and Fun Home by Alison Bechtel. And we put them in a drawer while the board formed a committee and we developed a selection policy for the library. And that took about 4 months. At the time that that policy was in place, we then took the books back out of the drawer, applied the policy to those books to see if they should be on the shelves or not, and the decision was made to return them to the shelves.
All right. So to all three of you, how do you feel about this process? First, Amy Crump, as a librarian, removing books from shelves, do you feel good about that? Bad about that?
Definitely do not feel good about that. It was a necessary action at that point, as I said, because we did not have a policy in place. Public libraries are in a little bit of a different situation than your other two guests who are representing school libraries that have had challenges, because we are not required to be in loco parentis like the schools. So the responsibility for what children see rests on the parents when it comes to public libraries.
In the school district, Sarah Pacheco, is this process a good one in your view, or does it create a lot of controversy that maybe the board wishes it didn't have to deal with?
I feel that the process is good because we are hearing from a committee of people that it's made up of teachers, administrators, that have to take everything into consideration. And both sides are offered the opportunity to speak up. And we have definitely heard from both sides on this issue. Everyone's been allowed to say their part.
Okay.
And ultimately, the decision rests with the governing board.
So, Mike Holtz-Connect, democracy in action here, is that what you're feeling? Or does somebody have an opportunity to get really mad and get a book out of the library, and most of the people in the community don't even really know about it?
That's two questions. Democracy, yes, in its finest form. And when our school board and our community got to the point to have the public hearing, as Sarah was discussing, there were over 200 people in the gymnasium. The meeting had to be moved to the gymnasium because there was so much public interest on both sides. And our school board gave the entire community, and in fact, they had a representative from the American Library Association come down from Chicago to speak at our public forum. And that's what democracy is about.
All right. To the three of you, one last question, and then we'll go. What concerns you most? Anti-American language in a book? Potentially profane and pornographic sort of sexual content in a book, or religious blasphemy in a book? Mike, Sarah, and then Amy. Mike?
All of those things to some degree, but on the other hand, none of those things to other degrees. Some of those things, questioning authority, questioning religion to an extent, sometimes that's part of education.
All right. Well, you've thought this through. Sarah Pacheco, how about you? What's the biggest concern? Is it the sexual content, the religious content, or the political content?
I think that religious content and political content is in the eye of the beholder. But for parents, it seems to mostly be sexual content and profane content. That's a pretty clear line that most parents don't want, you know, school districts to follow.
Amy Crump, what about you? The three categories, which concerns you the most?
I don't think any of those three are, as far as the content of a book, are my main concern. My main concern would be about a group of people or an individual trying to make decisions about what an entire community has access to.
So you're more concerned about the censorship than any of the content?
Yes.
All right. Amy Crump, Sarah Pacheco, and Mike Holtz-Connect, thank you so much for allowing us to tell this story.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
So what books have been banned at your child's school or library? Do you agree with the decision to ban them? Tell us a story. Weigh in on this conversation. Go to thetakeaway.org and take our book quiz as well. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.